It's Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat from Vermont. He's been in office since 2023 after serving in the House. And when he was a member of the House, he promised us he'd come back when he was in the Senate, and he has kept his word. Senator Welch, thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Ian.
So you served with Tim Walz, the Democratic vice presidential nominee in the House. Have any good Tim Walz stories for our listeners?
I do. You know, he and I were classmates. So when you come in, we were elected in 06. It's your classmates that you become closest to, because it's a very intense experience when you're first arriving and getting settled. But Tim was a very, very liked member of our large class. In fact, he was a co-president of our class. But I always, the funny thing I remember about Tim, he was a sergeant major and was used to barracks living for a while, I think. And when he was in the gym, he was one of these guys who would he'd half undo his tie and just do the top buttons, undo the top buttons of his shirt and take off his dress shirt like it was a T-shirt. And that was so that he could get out to his jog faster and then get back to his office quicker. But he's a very down-to-earth person. So excited about him, because what you see and what has excited people about his just down-to-earth, generous approach, that's who he is. So terrific choice, and I think a real asset to Vice President Harris.
Not to bring the mood down, but you know, as we speak, there have been some efforts that are being challenged right now to change at the last minute how Nebraska's Electoral College votes will be awarded. And there's really been a lot of attention on the uncertainty that might follow November 5th. What do you envision and what do you worry about in terms of the outcome of this election?
Well, I worry about election interference after the votes are cast. I don't worry about people going to court. I don't worry about the people asking for a recount. But I do worry about some of these stories we're hearing out of Georgia, where you basically have Trump-aligned electors who are making threats that they'll do whatever it is they can to make certain that they get the outcome that they want. So January 6th is not that far behind us. That was a direct assault on the Capitol. But there are other maneuvers that partisans may take to try to essentially interfere with the seating of electors who were chosen by the voters. So I worry about it.
Republican Governor Phil Scott is extremely popular, the most popular in America by some measures, but he does have a Democratic opponent this fall. Do you plan to back Esther Charleston's campaign?
Well, I do. I do support our Democrats. But what you also said is very, very true, and that is Governor Scott is extremely popular, and I think, as you mentioned, by some measures, the most popular governor in the country. So it's a challenge because of that popularity that Governor Scott enjoys.
So the last time you and I had a conversation on this show, we were talking about the Affordable Connectivity Program. And I was reading this analysis from Pew the other day that finds 23 million households were using that to get high-speed internet, which they couldn't access before, and then the funding for that ran out. What should happen from here?
We should refund it. I mean, this is a program that's absolutely vital to the well-being of those 23 million families. By the way, that's about 4 million of those families are veterans. And you cannot have an opportunity to improve your situation or live your life without high-speed internet anymore. You know, it's sort of like what electricity was in the 30s when America made the decision to get electricity all over the country, including our most rural areas. Down that dirt road to that last barn, that last farm on that road. The internet now, high-speed internet, it's for homework, it's for applying for a job, it's for having an appointment with the doctor. So I'm really committed, and we've got a lot of bipartisan support. And I think we'll get there, but the longer we wait, the more jeopardy there is for those folks who are hanging on for relief.
Let me quickly jump overseas. You have been a very fierce critic of Israel's war in Hamas since last October 7th. Now it's been a year, and it looks like another front has opened in southern Lebanon with Hezbollah. What's your reaction to the latest developments there?
Well, first of all, we're approaching the anniversary of that horrible day, October 7th, when Hamas savagely killed over 1,200 Israelis and took almost 250 hostages, many of whom are still being held, kidnapped by Hamas. So it's a terrible, terrible anniversary. But the reaction by the Netanyahu government has been extreme. Over 40,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. Gaza has essentially been destroyed. The infrastructure of its hospitals, its schools, has been destroyed. Disease is now escalating. And then we now have much more military activity, both in Lebanon with the attacks on Hezbollah locations, according to the Israelis, and, of course, much more fighting in the West Bank, where there's been significant destruction of the infrastructure there. So you're seeing what many of us fear, and that is a significant escalation of violence and of killing and of the conflict. So the concern I've had from the beginning, in addition to the absolute urgency of a ceasefire, as an escalation in the region that may draw the United States more and more into that conflict.
Okay, just one more thing. You know, it's an election year, so there are a lot of ideas being floated about reforms to the Supreme Court. And you talked about some of your issues with the court's recent rulings in our last conversation. But I was wondering, you know, do you support the idea of either expanding the court's membership or setting term limits for the justices? And I'll just note here that you're on the Judiciary Committee.
Right. I support term limits strongly. I oppose expansion. And the reason I do is I think it would be seen as too political. And we expand because we don't like decisions. And then the other party's in power and they expand because they don't like the decisions. I don't think it'll give us a durable resolution. On the other hand, if you had 18-year terms that rotated, every president would have the opportunity to nominate two Supreme Court justices. And over time, I think you'd restore balance. And it also would involve the American people, because obviously when we're all voting for president, one of the factors we can take into account is our judgment as to the kind of justice that that person would appoint. So I strongly believe in term limits. And I think that has a chance of getting bipartisan support.
We've been speaking with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch. He's a Democrat in office since 2023 after his House career. Senator Welch, we're very grateful for all of your time. Thank you for coming back, and we'll look forward to the next one.
Thanks, Ian. Really appreciate it.